Welcome back to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast, presented by Zwift, the online cycling platform that makes training fun. Here with Benji, we're going to Budapest in 4 days. I'm scared, I'm underprepared, but we have Romandy first. We had the prologue yesterday where Ethan Hayter took the leader's jersey, confirmed. He is a great time trialist, first World Tour win. Today, uphill finish, punchy sort of. How would you categorize this? Is this a puncher's finish, Benji? I think it is. Like it's 100 meters in about 1500 meters latitude. I've not described that well, but it's like 1.5K, 6-7%. It's a puncher's finish.
It's the kind of stage that a year and a half ago, we would have said a Michael Matthews stage, and about half a year ago, we would have said a Magnus Cort stage. And today it would have been an Ethan Hayter stage on paper. Yep. So that's the evolution of these kind of stages over the last 2 years.
And that's how it played out. You look at the profile for 182Ks from La Grande Baroche to Romont, and it's hilly all day. Like, oh, well, 7Ks, 4%, 2Ks, 6%. Maybe a team can try something. Absolutely not. A break went away with Cavendish riders, some riders from the Swiss team, and it was Ineos at the front controlling for a lot of this stage, and it was technical. What did you think Ineos' plan was? Hayter was the favorite, Benji, in the bookies. 3-1, 2-1, $3. Like, they seemed to be riding for him, but he was at the back for the whole stage.
Yeah, it's the usual Hayter behavior in the peloton, it seems to me. Yes, they were controlling the breakaway. The breakaway never got more than 2 minutes and a half, 3 minutes towards the last 40-ish, 50 kilometers of this stage. So as a consequence, you know that the break is likely going to be caught once we get to the final, once the teams at all feel like they can get something out of this, start prepping and start moving to the front into these nervous sections and so forth, on these hills, into these ascents, and try and get their sprinters to the front. But like you said, Ethan Hayter at the back, and it's a thing we've seen all damn year and even last year as well. He stays at the back despite his team being at the front, and it's not like it's like 20 riders from the back. It's like in the last few positions of the peloton, and then I'd argue that it doesn't even help you that much when it comes to energy if you're like literally one of the last in the peloton, or am I wrong in that?
No, you're 100% right. Like, he's getting the full yo-yo effect. And we saw in Paris-Nice, he was having to sprint back on quite often. So no, it's not efficient back there either. And I don't know what the reason is. It's like it's gotten worse. You have to remember, Hayter was, I mean, how many years has he been riding? So he was a stagiaire in 2018 and then 2019, I can't see anything. But 2020, he was racing, he did Liège, he did Flèche, he won Giro dell'Appennino in 2020, 2021. He did Tour of Britain, Andalusia he did well, Algarve he did well, Settimana. But still at World Tour level, not really competitive. Tour of Norway, though, had big hitters. It seems to have gotten worse this year, Benji, which is the concerning thing for me. So, like, what do you think the reason is for it? Is it simple that he just isn't comfortable riding in the bunch?
I would dare to think so. He's got his track background with medicine and so forth, and perhaps the peloton feeling is not something he likes completely, and therefore he stays at the back. And perhaps that's something that you can learn over time. I don't know that. What do you think in that? Do you think that, for example, let's say Remco's descending in the past was not perfect. His reaction speed in descents is still not amazing either for Remco, but his ascending has gotten better over the last year. And then we look at Ethan Hayter with his positioning. Is positioning something that you can learn over time and get better at?
I'm not sure if it's a handling thing. I don't think like the guy has terrible reactions, so physiologically he has an issue. I think it's a mental thing, and I assume like it's obvious after Paris-Nice, I assume Ineos are not oblivious to it and they're taking steps to address it, because this is not a guy where, oh, well, he's a domestique on other days. It's not a really big deal. No, 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 no. He is the favorite for this stage. You set up shop chasing the break so he can win this stage. You cannot ride for a guy trying to win stages in big races if they hang at the back like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I assume they're going to try and work through it. They'll know better than I. Steve Cummings, probably not the ideal person to give him advice on it, Ineos DS. Maybe he told him that's the safest place to run the bunch, and that's why it's gotten worse. I don't know, but it is a shame. Huge talent, huge kick, and I hope he can fix it and he gets back into the mix, because the inevitable happened. This is why we've dwelled on this so much. Benji and I were talking about it. 2 minutes later, there's a crash, and he's caught behind it and then involved in it, goes down pretty hard, took a while to get up. I'm not sure if he's finished the stage. I assume he did. I saw them putting him back on the bike, but that's what can happen, Benji. And yeah, it's a shame. So what did you see from Ineos? Oh, sorry, any last thoughts from you on it? Is someone like Plapp, who's maybe not so great straight away, but it's improving, are you less concerned about a guy in his neo-pro year being a bit uncomfortable?
Yeah, certainly. And I think that my take on the Hayter crash is, it sucks that we see him crash. I hope he has no injuries from this crash. Let that be clear. No one deserves to crash. But it's his own damn fault that he's in the position that was vulnerable to that crash happening ahead of him while his entire team was at the front. As simple as that. That's my take on that. And I do feel like it's his fault that he was caught up in the crash. And perhaps that's harsh to say, but I feel like, yeah, that's the truth here. But like you said, Ineos went to the front then. I feel like directly after the crash, they were at the front and they slowed down a tiny bit in this descent that just came after. But the stress in the peloton kept going because other teams started moving around left and right as well. And I think it was the team of Michael Woods and Paddy Bevin and Fuglsang as well, Israel, that started moving up on the right as well. Or did you see something else from Ineos as well?
Yeah, Ineos moving Plapp up, getting a line, and then Israel, as you said, moving up next to them, Bahrain with Luis Leon Sanchez ahead of Dylan Terns, who now with Hayter out is the favorite for the stage. Ineos going for a first priority, making sure Thomas doesn't crash, keeping him safe in this technical nervous section, and B, maybe Thomas can try something on this stage. We got Vlasov here, Bevin, Woods. Rowan Dennis is in the, I think, points jersey. He came second at the TT yesterday, and it looked like Jumbo-Visma riding for him on GC. Hesink on the front, keeping Dennis out of trouble all day as well. Before we get into the finale, our show partner, Zwift, as I said, the online cycling platform that makes training fun. We've mentioned it before, Benji's preparing on Zwift for riding his first col this year outdoors, but first he's going to do it, I believe, on Zwift, on the Alp climb on Zwift, which is, I think, harder than most outdoor climbs, personally doing it on Zwift. It's a brute. But what climb do you want to do, Benji, outdoors?
Well, first of all, I want to say that one good part about doing it on Zwift first is that I might be able to live stream it, and that might give fun content for people to see me suffering on the internet on Zwift. I think that's a good idea. But towards the end of the year, you're right, I don't know if it's going to be towards the end of the year. We haven't decided completely yet, but I'd love to do a climb outside, and I want to do like a high profile climb. I have not decided which climb yet, and that's where I'd argue you could come in, and you could drop your recommendations below in the comment sections or on Twitter at us at the Lantern Rouge CP account. I'd love to hear your takes on which climb I should take on as my first climb. Let it be clear, my fitness level is currently not ready to ride up that climb, but I'll try and be ready by the time we reach that climb and that moment in the year.
Col de Galliner near my house. I have a climb near my house, 3.5 k's away. It's, I think, they used it in Vuelta, Pagaccio on the stage in 2019. It is disgusting. And it's good to actually, using the Alp, I do 20-minute intervals on that on Zwift. All right. Going into the finale, we have the Remica Vanya Catalunya attack, the patented 5 k's to go. Bit of nothing in the peloton. Break was called ages ago. Cavagna goes. They give him 10 seconds, and then they bring it straight back. Israel pacing, I think, going for Woods on this stage. You saw Fuglsang pacing. I disagree with it. Israel should try and double stack Woods and Fuglsang on GC here. I don't think either of them are winning. Probably neither on the podium. But they need points from a guy in 5th and 7th. I don't think they should sacrifice Fuglsang. We go into the finish, and it's Rowan Dennis, Benji, kicking early, and I was like, what is going on? Thomas had been on the front. Dennis drops him, turns. Vlasov's out of position. Hirschi was couldn't keep his wheel. I haven't seen a Rowan Dennis like this in 18 months, longer.
Yeah, agreed. And it seemed like he was reacting at first to an attack by Ayuso that was very like spicy. And then Ayuso kind of disappeared when Dennis went over him on that climb. And that Dennis move, like when Dennis was on the wheel, I was like, is that Dennis? That can't be Dennis. And then it took like another 30 seconds before I realized Dennis is doing this. And it wasn't like he was actually like doing a just following those attacks. He had proper punch and he was riding away from the others. And at a certain point, he made a gap of 2 seconds. Perhaps 3 seconds at a certain point. Then we saw that he had a corner ahead. And going into the last 300 meters, I was like, Rohan Dennis has this. Rohan Dennis is going to win a stage with a punchy finish in the Tour de Romandie, something I would have never written him down for in a million years. But then someone came up behind him, the villain of the story, the bad man of the day. Who was it?
Dylan Turns, the man who I think still probably is going to have nightmares about Liège in the form of his life, just reeled Dennis back in. You could see Dennis, he'd shot his shot early and he was just trying to hold on. It was a second at 100 meters, Turns drawing in at 50, and Turns nailed him on the line to win the stage. They're both on the same time. Dennis still takes the bonus seconds, but Turns wins. You know, that'll be bittersweet after Liège. Incredible form from that man. Dennis second, takes 6 bonus seconds though. Hirschi third on now. Basically, everyone's on 2 seconds from the GC guys. Just looking quickly, trying to see anyone that no one's jumping off the page except maybe Tiberi. I thought might sneak a result, but like Thomas, Ayuso, O'Connor, Caruso, Hermans, Vlasov, Groschartner. All on 6 seconds. Woods came 22nd after Israel were chasing. McNulty also was good on a finish like this in Dauphiné. He came third last year behind Aaron Baru, the Guru, and Colbrelli. But Dennis goes into the GC lead, Benji. He's got a 14-second gap on Groschartner and Thomas. And I think he's seriously focused on GC here. Am I misremembering? Was he at Romandie last year with Thomas? And I kind of feel like that was the race he thought he'd get a GC chance for, and it didn't work out. And I think he's trying to prove a point, and he's extra motivated here.
Probably, but I also remember him crashing in a descent, and then the day after being slower in a descent time trial, or in a descent of a time trial that was raining or something. And I remember something with rain, crashing, and time trials from Romandie last year. But let's be honest, I locked that memory of Romandie far, far away in my head because it was not necessarily the most interesting race of the year. But I remember something like that, at which he, in the end, just didn't have a great time trial as well, if I recall correctly. So I think that's part of the reason, but there's probably something in there where he wants to prove himself at Jumbo, and he's certainly doing it, in my opinion, was very vital in the work that he did at Paris-Nice as well. When it comes to Roglic, was one of the stronger domestiques there outside of Wout van Aert on the final climbing stage. And then he's got second and second on 2 stages. So I guess it's an inevitable fact that he's going to come second again tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow's another kind of misc stage. It's not as big an uphill finish, but it's rolling all day. Wouldn't surprise me if a breakaway wins. There have been now riders just looking... they've lost a little bit more time. So, as I said, someone like a Tiberi, although he's on 1 minute, there's runners, a whole host of them on 10 minutes, like Van Hoeker, Catania, Valentin Paris-Pantre, Verscheva, Jan Maas,
yeah,
Chris Froome.
Do we know how many of those were actually involved in the crash or were behind because of the crash? Because I think that's a difficult thing to see now in today's stage, for example. Who lost time because of the crash and who lost time because they were behind? Oh, yeah, true.
Ooh, that's the big one for Cofidis in points. He lost 11 minutes today. But, yeah, I don't think all of them were badly injured. Like, it wasn't like the Liège crash. I think most of them were just caught up and it never caught back up. I think we'll see a decent break tomorrow, and I think the break will win. James Knox, I would really like to see bounce back into form. Bob Jungels on 11 minutes. Who have you got I think break, Benji. Why would Jumbo pace all day? Dennis won't be the favorite for this finish.
I agree. They surely wouldn't need to like carry it, the race on their shoulders here. Yes, they can put a tempo at the front, but a fake tempo in the break and win if it's an undangerous breakaway, of course. And even if like a rider from the Swiss national team that's also at the start here ends up being in that breakaway, it's not a dangerous thing. Like, they can let them go. And honestly, I'd love to see a rider like a Conte, Pascher, or even a rider from that Switzerland team. Like, we spoke off podcast yesterday about Matthias Flügiger. He's that dude that came second at the Mount, or was it second at Mountain Bike Olympics?
Yeah, second behind Peacock, I think.
Wouldn't that be fun to see? Like, it's unlikely, but
they're motivated.
They were in the breakaway with two riders today, and it looked like they were with three because the cuff of the shirt is exactly the same damn shirt, but without a white cross on it. So, I don't know. I'd love to see a rider from that team do something in the breakaway and actually reach something in this Tour de Suisse, Romandy. It's all the same.
I'm going with Harry Sweeney because I'm obligated to, because he's Australian. I like his sort of versatility. It's a misc stage. Maybe the climbs are too hard and it will suit someone more like Catania and James Knox. Bob Jungels in his heyday from the break would obviously...
Catania?
Yeah. He really blew up quickly. I don't like him on the climbs. Yeah, I see your point, but yeah. Shackman's on 5 minutes, Benji.
What, like, huh?
He's in bad shape, I think. It must be.
Or the crash.
I thought he was in the group. Maybe you're right. But yeah, so many riders lost time. I think it's break all day tomorrow. Unless for some reason UAE think Gaviria can win the sprint and want to pace all day, I would suggest that's a big effort. Pascher, Benji's a bit too close on GCs on 33 seconds, unfortunately.
F in the chat. That's very unfortunate. I'll have to go with someone like a Volantep by the Pant or something instead then.
Yeah. Or Sander Armey also, I like.
Yeah. Dennis. Nah, he's washed.
Nah, he's good punchy. He's from... Nah, he... Dennis, Benji, who do you think's favorite for GC now after what you saw out of Dennis today? Because Thomas dropped pretty much off the wheel. We've got that 10K 8% in the mountain time trial. Is Dennis now the favorite?
I've bound my contract to the Yuzo squad yesterday by announcing that he would win GC. So I'm forced to announcing him as the eventual winner of this race. I think a lot is still to be decided. I think Dennis is looking good, but it also won't be easy for him to win this. There's so many riders that will try and attack him left and right. I think Yuzo is one of those riders that is very aggressive, and it might even come to the cost of a Yuzo in the end, but it might also ruin Dennis, which then leads to an opportunity for a rider like Ben O'Connor or something to get something out of this. So, like, there's so many options, so many riders that could still do something here that there's plenty of people that can still win this. Even Thomas is still in the cards, I dare to say.
And, like, Bahrain have Caruso on 26, Maeder on 31. Jumbo have got Kuss and Kreuzweig and Hessink, but there's some teams with multiple cards to play who have strong climbers on GC who can try and put Dennis
Turns?
Under pressure. Turns? I don't know. I think he has he won a mount? He won Planche de Belfie. That was that from the break in the Tour or from the GC group?
Breakaway ahead of some Italian guy Trek, I think.
Okay,
if I vaguely remember it.
We've not yet seen Turns winning a mountaintop finish. Someone's going to pull it out of his palmares, I'm sure, against like a proper GC group on the second to last stage. Can he actually win that? I kind of think, yes, it's stepped. There's some breaks in it. So, and also we don't have Roglic, Pogacar, et cetera here. But yeah, Romandy, I'm enjoying it more than last year. I don't know why. Maybe because it was just Dennis throwing up an interesting... I'm trying to think of a metaphor and I can't think of one. Dennis made the end of this stage interesting. But yeah, hope no one was too hurt in the crash. We'll see. I would have said Ineos would pace for Hayter in the sprint tomorrow and drop Gaviria, but I'm not sure that will be the case. But yeah, we'll come back tomorrow with a recap as well as, let's see, maybe some relegation talk. We'll talk about Israel. We talked about Lotto yesterday. We'll prepare maybe some comments on Israel. Thanks as always for listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you with the recap tomorrow. Ciao.